puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago.
And many moons ago in Manitoba, someone raised a glass. And Gordon Goldsborough, our abandoned Manitoba historian, is here to tell the story. He's, of course, from the Manitoba Historical Society. Hi, Gordon.
Good morning, Terry.
So your hint was raise a glass.
Yes, and I'd hoped that that glass might have a connection to Beausejour, Manitoba.
Okay. I'm not getting this yet.
Okay. Well, it would be probably before your time, I suppose. But at one time, one of the first, in fact, the first glass manufacturing facility in Western Canada was in Beausejour.
Wow. Knew nothing of this. Tell us more.
Okay. Well, if you go back way back to when first Europeans began to come into Manitoba, they would brought with them a lot of things, including glass containers. And most of those would have been made, manufactured, blown, mm-hmm. of course, because the process of manufacturing glass involves blowing air into a lump of molten glass. They would have been manufactured probably in Europe or maybe in Eastern Canada, what was then known Upper Canada or Lower Canada. But gradually, as people began to settle the West, the need for sort of local glass became pretty dire. And so in 1906, an entrepreneur, a German immigrant who was a farmer, actually, what I've been able to determine, had no real connections to the glass industry, decided to build himself a glass factory at Beausejour. And it was the first of its kind in Western Canada. It produced fairly significant numbers of bottles over a period of about 10 years and then very quickly disappeared.
It disappeared. So what remains of it now?
Well, this is where I'm going to depend on maybe some listeners from the Beausejour area, because I'm not altogether sure. There are foundations of the building. You can go to the site. They've got a nice big sign that draws you to it. So you can find it fairly easily. You can see the foundations of the old buildings. They were quite a large – it was a large facility in its day. But there's also, I think, the remnants of it in a much larger context, because in order to get glass, you needed something as a source of silica. Silica is the raw material.
Like sand?
Sand, basically. Yes. Mm-hmm. And there was apparently a fairly large quarry of sand in the Beausejour area. And I'm wondering then, is that lake that's on the southwest corner of Beausejour the remnants? Because it seems to me kind of coincidental otherwise that there'd be this lake. There aren't a lot of lakes in that area, and there's one fairly large one right on the edge of the town, right next to where the glassworks was. So I'm kind of thinking that may have been where they excavated the sand to make the glass.
Does anything remain of the glassworks?
Well, the glassworks say, other than the foundation, no. Yeah. But I'm also thinking that the remains of the products, the glass itself, would survive. Because one of the things about glass is that it's a long-lived material. You know, it's prone to breakage, of course. But as long as it's kept fairly intact, for instance, when you dump garbage into a landfill, the organic material rots away, but the glass will be there, you know, potentially indefinitely. And people occasionally, glass collectors, bottle collectors, will go out and dig around in old dumps looking for old bottles. And I wouldn't be surprised at all that for that period of time, you might well find a bottle surviving. Because I'm told that quite a lot of the beer bottles, for instance, from that period, depending on which brewery you bought your beer from, if you bought it from the Drurys, it was a green glass bottle. If you bought it from McDonough and Shea, which is another one over here where the Great West Life building is in Winnipeg, they had amber bottles, and it wouldn't necessarily say the name of the manufacturer on them, but it would certainly say the name of the brewer on them. And if you could find a bottle from that period, it's almost certainly made at the Beausejour Glassworks.
There is a gorgeous display at the Manitoba Museum of Manitoba glassware, glass bottles, all that sort of stuff. I bet you there's some of that stuff.
Oh, I'm almost certain of it.
So the one in Beausejour, though, did it have a kind of signature quality, or was there any kind of a stamp that would have appeared?
No, I think not. I think most times they would put into the mold the name of the purchaser.
Yes.
You know, they'd have the name of the brewer, for example, or the medicine. They made a range of things. It wasn't just beer bottles. It was medicine bottles of various kinds. Anything that could be contained in a liquid of some kind or a whatever, in a bottle, they would make at this glassworks. And they would probably – there's lots of them out there. People who collect bottles probably can be saying right now, I've got lots of examples of those kind of bottles.
So what was the name of the operation? Do you know that?
Its formal name was the Manitoba Glass Manufacturing Company. And say it started in 1906 by a German immigrant by the name of Joseph Kielbach and his sons. And it operated for less than a decade. Actually, it closed in 1914. So that's why I'm not so sure there will be terribly many specimens out there. I mean, there will be some because it made a lot of bottles. I'm told that in its height, when it was really working full time, it was making anywhere from 15,000 to 20,000 bottles a week. So, you know, so do the math. That's a lot of bottles.
So, Gordon, why did this plant in Beausejour close?
That's an interesting story in its own right.
Okay.
Because it relates to mechanization. So initially, when they first opened the facility, it was all manual labor. Mainly a lot of Polish immigrants came and who were experienced glass blowers, and they would blow them by hand. But as you can imagine, blowing bottles out of, you know, was a very time-consuming process. So mechanization became a godsend. And especially if you wanted to make some of the more fancy jars and droppers and ink bottles that needed to be made mechanized. Well, unfortunately, it turns out the manufacturers or the people that held the patents to those sort of mechanized bottle make machines wouldn't share them with the folks in Beausejour. And so, unfortunately, they weren't able to make a go of it. So a company from Montreal bought the machinery from the one at Beausejour and then transferred it all to Alberta, where they had been offered basically free space and free natural gas. Because, of course, natural gas was something that they were just starting to get into in Alberta.
Yeah.
And this meant it was very cheap to mechanize large quantities of glass. And so this made it, you know, uneconomical to make it here in Beausejour.
Well, thanks for bringing us the story, Gordon.
Oh, you're quite welcome.
See you next week. Oh, before you go, what's next?
Well, the next week's site will feature a fine grove.
A fine grove.
A grove.
All righty. Thanks.
Yeah, you're welcome, Terry.
See you next week.
Yeah, bye-bye.
No matter where I go, every time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba. Many moons.